Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This football story starts on a Saturday night in a nightclub in Amsterdam. The club is packed with people. They're living their best lives, bouncing around on the beats the DJ plays. The man behind the turntables is handsome, black, and has dyed his hair blonde. He wears a white t-shirt and a silver-colored overall. He's looking fresh, like a proper DJ. I wonder how many people in the club realize that that guy is not just a DJ. It's Djibril Cissé, the man who was banging in goals as a striker for football clubs all over the world not too long ago. He even won the Champions League with Liverpool. This episode of our podcast is dedicated to the incredible story of Djibril Cissé and his wild years at Liverpool FC. It's a story on making a record-breaking transfer to England, buying a manor, suffering horrible injuries, winning the Champions League, pimping a van with Fat Joe, and becoming a DJ. My name is Sam van Raalte, and welcome to The Home of Football, a podcast by 433. Let's go. Djibril Cissé was one of the most colorful characters in the world of football during the past two decades. He's always intrigued me. In many ways, Djibril Cissé was ahead of his time in the early 2000s, with his colored hair, fashion, boots and swagger. He became a fan favorite at clubs like Marseille, Panathinaikos and Liverpool. On the pitch, he was a very talented striker, even though his career was scarred by two horrible injuries. Djibril Cissé stopped playing football a couple of years ago, and nowadays he's a DJ named Cheba. I met him when he came to Amsterdam to play some records in a club at a dance event. The morning after, he agreed to meet me in his hotel to record this podcast on his years at Liverpool FC. When we met, Djibril Cissé was looking sharp. He wore a leopard print tracksuit from Supreme. The hair on top of his head was dyed blonde, just like when he played at Liverpool. He ate a Nutella pancake and then he was ready to take a deep dive into his years at Liverpool.
Don't stop beat going.
Test.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you well, man. All good. Switch, yeah. All right, Djibril. So yeah. We're in Amsterdam yeah. Dance event.
Yeah.
Yesterday evening, you played at Club Air, one of the most famous clubs here in Amsterdam. Sold out event, one of the headlines. What was it like, man?
It was a big show. You know, the Afro Bros, they're always doing big things and big shows. Yeah, it was fun to be a part of the lineup. And yeah, I met some great people, had some fun. And it was a great night and another one tonight. And I'm playing for Layback Luke.
Nice things, man.
Yeah, it is. It's a great guy, great honor for me to play alongside him. And yeah, I'm really excited.
One of your rings, it says fuck you, right?
Yeah.
What kind of rings are those?
More African kind of.
Cool. Okay, which country in Africa?
These big ones, they are from Senegal. And this one is a brown.
Okay, cool.
All right, enough about the amazing rings Djibril Cissé wears on his fingers. Djibril was born in 1981 in the city of Arles in the south of France. He broke through as a striker at Auxerre in the early 2000s. Djibril Cissé became the club's top scorer and was named the best young player in the French league in 2002. He was fast, powerful, and one of the most sought-after players on the transfer market. Real Madrid wanted to sign him, but
Gibril thought he wasn't ready for that step yet. So Gibril decided to make a transfer to Liverpool in 2004. He was 22 years old. And in England, he soon bought a manor, a small castle.
Oh, the summer I was, before I went to Liverpool, I think I was at my prime. I was, you know, fast, confident, effective in front of the goals. Yeah, I was selected for the World Cup. So I was on top of the world, to be honest. And I was really happy and really confident for this move.
So you moved there, you moved to Liverpool, totally different environment, right? Scousers. You know, how did you like the culture when you arrived there?
When I arrived, you know, I was it was a little different kind of life for me because, you know, the language, the driving side of the road, the food, everything was different. The intensity of the training, you know, everything was another world and another step ahead from, you know, what I was normally doing in Auxerre.
I want to talk a little bit about your living situation because you bought a manor, right?
Yeah, I bought a manor and I was the lord of the manor. So yeah, it's cool. It's another title.
It's awesome, right?
Yeah, it's cool.
Are you still lord of the manor?
Well, no, because my kids and my ex-wife, you know, have the house now. But
right.
But I think the title is still mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can still have it.
Still lord of the manor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what's a manor like? I've never lived in a manor. What?
It looked like a mini castle. Yeah, it's less space and a big land, and yeah, it's cool. It's green. Yeah, a lot of land.
Yeah, a lot of land, right? Because there were also hunters who wanted to hunt on your land, right?
Yeah. They used to hunt with the ex-owner. Well, so he sold the house, so they came to my house to ask me if it's still possible for them to come and hunt on the Sunday or whatever. And I said straight away no, because first of all, I have kids and, you know, I'm not a fan of killing animals. So I said no. I don't think they were really happy with it, but, you know, I don't care. It's my property, so nothing to do with that.
Interesting. And the tabloids blew that up immediately, right?
Yeah, that was good. that was good. You know, he showed a good side of me, so people were happy. I had a lot of messages at the time saying, yeah, it's good what you've done. But, you know, first of all, I didn't really made it, you know, to look good in front of people. It's just that, you know, I'm not a fan of killing anyone or killing animals.
Yeah.
So I said no.
Like, you're dressed very cool now, but you were dressing very cool back then as well.
Thank you.
I think the Gibril from then could be cool now as well, right?
Yeah, I think so.
With your dyed hair and your fashion. I think you were a little bit ahead of your time, maybe, because football players weren't really dressing that way, right?
Yeah, at the time I was like, I remember my friends like saying you're like an alien. You know, you don't belong to Earth. You need to, you know, your dressing sense is not normal. But, you know, it was me. It was what I liked to do, and the same today. But now the footballers are more into fashion and more into like hairstyle and tattoos and stuff. But I did that a long time ago.
On the pitch, Gibril started out great at Liverpool. He scored in his first Premier League game against Tottenham, and he scored in his first game in the Champions League as well against AS Monaco. Gibril was on fire.
Precise was that.
Things started out great for Gibril, but within a couple of months, his world was turned upside down. Liverpool played an away game at Blackburn Rovers in the beginning of the season. Gibril Cissé had a place in the starting lineup, but in the 38th minute, he received the ball on the right side of the pitch and started to dribble. The left back of Blackburn Rovers tried to stop him, but in a very unfortunate series of events, Gibril's left leg got entangled between the defender's legs while they were sprinting at full speed. Gibril's left leg broke like a twig. Gibril was screaming in agony and carried off the pitch on a stretcher. I'm sorry I have to ask, but
no,
how do you look back at what happened there?
Oh, I think that was starting really well, the season, starting to find my habits on the pitch and, you know, with the start to links with the other players. Then the injury happened. You know, it wasn't a big challenge or a nasty challenge. It was, I think, bad luck.
You get injured on the pitch and then you're carried off the field on a stretcher ride. What went through your mind at that point? Wow.
A lot of things. First of all, you ask yourself if you're going to play again. Am I going to be able to play again? Am I going to find the same level as I was? Then, yeah, a lot of things. But the first thing, it's, you know, you're scared for your career.
Yeah. I also read somewhere that if you weren't treated right in that first few moments, that there was even a possibility that, you know, you lost your leg. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, because when my bone breaks, it went on top of the shin.
The bone, yeah.
And the blood circulation, you know, wasn't in my right foot. So I seen the doctor, Dr. Waller, at the time. He was like checking my legs and doing all the first checking you have to do. You know, he saw that my foot didn't react when he was touching it or something. And he said to me, "Yeah, Jib, I think I have to do something. I have to pull your leg and reduce the fracture." That's how he said. And yeah, well, I said yes. After a while, he explained to me why he's done that. And yeah, I said thanks to him, because I wouldn't be here today if not.
It's crazy, yeah, right?
Yeah, and
literally with his hands.
Yeah, he just pulled my leg and put it back. And it's like, I think he said to me between 45 minutes to an hour with no blood, you need to amputate.
Crazy. But you were also thinking about a vacation at that point, right?
Yeah, I was on, I think I was on not drugs, but like morphine or something. And I kept saying to the doc, "I'm going to Ibiza on holidays and I'm going to come back playing." And he was like, yeah, okay. But, you know, he knew it was the medicine talk. Yeah. But I wasn't wrong. I came back, but I didn't go to Ibiza.
Jibril underwent surgery. Then he started to work on his comeback. He went off the grid for a while.
It's hard. It's hard, but you know, after the when you know that the operation went well and then you can start the rehab and start the process of coming back, you feel better. You know, you feel better in your head, even if some days you don't progress as much as some days. You know, the first months you go like really quick, so you can see really quick progress, and you know, for 2, 3, 4 weeks, you're not gonna see any improvement, and you're gonna. But it's normal. It's the normal procedure. Then at the end, you know, you go fast, and you know, you feel the pitch coming to you, and it's easier.
It's crazy, right? Because at that point, it was like maybe your leg or your foot had to be amputated. Mm. Then it was the question, like maybe you're out for an entire year.
Yeah.
Maybe never playing football at that level again. And then in like 6 months you return to playing football. It was crazy, right?
Yeah, no, it was from amputated to maybe, you know, lose my contract in Liverpool and go back to France and play in the lower league. Yeah, then 6 months later, after really really good work from the medical staff and all my medical in France, yeah, we came back at Juventus, yeah, quarterfinal all the way.
Liverpool was struggling in the Premier League that season, never winning more than 3 games in a row. But in the Champions League, magical things started to happen. The club had reached the quarterfinals when Jibril managed to make his miraculous return in the squad. The opponent was Juventus, and that Juventus team was insane.
I was 100% sure that I would play again during the season. And yeah, my first game, it's against Juventus. That was something. Yeah, Zlatan, Trezeguet, Nedved, Thuram, Cannavaro, Buffon. Yeah, it was complicated, but really good moment, great moment.
What do you mean by complicated?
You know, there's a lot of things coming through your head. I was training, I think, 2 or 3 weeks with the team. I can see that, you know, my teammates, you know, didn't really put too many contacts on me. And I was supposed to play against Lilian Thuram and Cannavaro. that clearly they're not going to, you know, be nice with me, and they don't care if I come back from injury or not, which is normal. And yeah, so I was, in my head, I was ready, but, you know, sometimes what's coming through and what you think and what the reality, there's some difference. And I was ready to come on, but a little bit stressed. The first challenge, I think it was the key. It was like, rather you go back to the injury room or you're fine. And thank God I was fine. And that was a good challenge with Cannavaro. And yeah, that was the start of the new Gibril.
In the semi-finals of the Champions League, Liverpool managed to knock out an insane Chelsea team with players like DJ Drogba, Arjen Robben, Claude Makélélé, John Terry and Frank Lampard. Gibril came on as a substitute in both games. Then it was on to the final in Istanbul, where Liverpool would face another powerhouse for what would become maybe the most legendary final in the history of the Champions League. Liverpool faced Carlo Ancelotti's AC Milan with players like Andrei Shevchenko, Kaká, Clarence Seedorf and Paolo Maldini. I could name their whole squad, basically all legendary players. Gibril didn't have a place in the starting 11 yet. Manager Rafa Benitez was still careful with him. The atmosphere in the stadium was insane because of the Liverpool fans. But Liverpool was not off to a good start. Maldini scored in the very first minute of the final.
Free kick which Andrea Pirlo will take. And it's volleyed, and it's in! A goal in 50 seconds from Milan!
Hernan Crespo added another two goals in the first half. Two razor-sharp counters by AC Milan.
Here's Hernan Crespo, 2-0! Look at that from Kaká. And what a pass too for Crespo. And what a goal that is. What a goal that is. Hernan Crespo again. From the sublime pass by Kaká. And Milan now playing football out of this world.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Liverpool was absolutely humiliated when the referee blew the whistle for halftime. Gibril clearly remembers what happened in the Liverpool dressing room then.
In the dressing room, it was strange because, you know, we were 3-0 down, but it wasn't like a chaos. It wasn't like everybody head down and you know, really disappointed. You know, we knew that, you know, it's going to be a difficult task to do, but that it wasn't impossible, even if, you know, it was 3-0 down against AC Milan. I don't want to say that, you know, I knew, but, you know, something was in the air and maybe a comeback, at least like a 3-1 or 3-2. But I think nobody expected us to come back.
No, exactly. What was said?
You know, Rafa did his speech. He was really calm, really convinced that, you know, we can do something if we score early in the first 15 or first 20. Then Steven Gerrard talked to us a little bit. You know, he said he's a kid from Liverpool. He grew up, you know, seeing all the captains, you know, lifting trophies and it would have been nice for him to do the same. And yeah, it was really powerful and it was a nice moment, and I think that was the key moment, and he boosted us winning.
They went back out onto the pitch, and then in the 54th minute, magic started to happen. First, Steven Gerrard headed the ball in.
It was Gerrard!
2 minutes later, Vladimir Smicer shot at goal.
Hit by Smicer. It's in!
And then, in the 60th minute, Liverpool was given a penalty after Gennaro Gattuso committed a foul in a duel with Steven Gerrard. Xabi Alonso stepped up to take the penalty. Within 10 minutes, Liverpool had managed to turn things back around. An absolute football miracle. Djibril Cissé was brought on in the 85th minute, replacing Milan Baros.
Oh, when the third one, you know, happened, I was like, let me in, because I'm going to score the fourth one and do the difference. I came in it was a difficult game to play, even, you know. I was full of energy, full of stamina and everything, but it was really difficult to come from the bench into the intensity of the game.
And then it's time for the penalties. What was the process then? Did Rafa ask you to take one, or did you say, I want to take one?
I was ready to go, but I knew that he's going to put me anyway, because I always wanted to, you know, ready to take a pen. So I wasn't really surprised that I was on the list. If he didn't put me on, I would go and ask anyway.
Serginho with the first penalty for Milan. Oh! Not even close. Our man to give Liverpool the advantage. Oh, that'll do. That'll do nicely. It's Pirlo. He's done it! Terrific stop.
You are the fourth one to take a penalty, I think. Two for
Milan, yeah. And second, yeah, for us.
Exactly. So what was it like when it's your time to take that penalty?
What I remember it, I was really calm, really, you know, relaxed. And I remember thinking to myself, yeah, like 4 months ago, you were barely walking. And now you are in front of 60, 70,000 people trying to give the advantage of your team for the Champions League final. So I was like, yeah, no stress, no pressure. Just do what you have to do. And, you know, if you miss, you miss. They missed twice before me, so it released a little bit some of the pressure. And, easy.
Djibril Cissé, 2-0!
Djibril scores his penalty. He shoots it in the lower right corner. Dida dives the other way. Then, John Dal Thomason scores a penalty for AC Milan. John Arne Riese misses for Liverpool. Kaká scores for AC Milan. And Schmeichel scores for Liverpool. Then it all comes down to Andrei Shevchenko, the superstar from Ukraine. Liverpool goalkeeper Jerzy Dudek performs his famous Dudek dance. Shevchenko shoots down the middle. Dudek dives to his right, but he manages to stretch back his left arm just enough.
Shevchenko misses. He saved it! The European Cup is returning to England and to Anfield.
Oh, explosion. You know, we ran everywhere. We went to see the fans, because they played a major role in this final. The way they supported us, even in the halftime, and when we came back on the pitch, it was like we were winning 3-0, and we're like, yeah, even for them, you know, we can't give up now. Mm-hmm.
There's a famous picture from you celebrating with the fans, and you're only in your underwear, right? What happened there?
Well, I gave everything, you know. On the, I was so, you know, hyped. I was like giving everything to everybody. I think even my boots. And yeah, the only thing I could keep it was my underwear. So that's why I end up in like this. Yeah.
It's crazy. So it's such a good story, right? That you had such an injury that season, and then you come back earlier than expected. You play your games, and then you score that penalty, and you win the Champions League. It's just a great story.
Yeah, it's a great story, and it showed that, you know, when you have when you want to do something and you put everything into your work and into your passion, you know, things happened.
You also said, you know, that maybe it was written that Liverpool would win the Champions League that season. Like, so there was something mystical about that team. Yeah. What do you mean by that?
It's not like we had the best player in the world at the time, but we were like willing to, I don't want to say to die one for the other, because it's you know, a lot to say that, but we are really a warrior team. The heart we had, that's what made the difference. We had a big heart, and you know, we liked to work one for each other, and to fight one for each other. That was the difference between us and the other team. We had talent, we had good players, but not like, you know, not like Milan or like Juventus or Chelsea in terms of quality. Maybe one or two, you know, like Stevie and Alonso, maybe were above us. But the rest of us, we are all warriors and, you know, ready to fight and ready to run.
Gibril got married that summer after winning the Champions League. It was a big party with a lot of high-profile football players there as well. Gibril wore white shoes, a red suit with a red necktie and a red hat. He looked wild. He made headlines once again in the British tabloids. Liverpool fans loved it. But the red suit was not a reference to the club.
It wasn't for Liverpool. I always said the day I get married, I would get married in red. So it happened that I was playing for Liverpool at the time. So yeah, it's...
Why did you want to marry in red?
I don't know. It was in my head. So lucky I wasn't playing for Everton. Yeah. That would be a problem. But yeah, it's I don't know why, but I always said I'm going to be in red.
A couple of months later, Liverpool traveled to Monaco to play against CSKA Moscow for the UEFA Super Cup. Gibril didn't have a place in the starting lineup, and he was not happy.
My family came, and I was on the bench. So I was really, 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 really hungry, really, and ready to show to the boss that he made a mistake to put me on the bench. Then I came back on, I equalized, then I scored again, and I assist to Luis Garcia. So yeah, it was a good game for me. Really good game.
Man of the match, right?
Yeah, man of the match, and one more trophy in the bag.
This guy's a trendsetter, maverick. This guy's a diehard football player, legend on the pitch.
Yeah. I set a challenge for MTV and Fat Joe here to see if they can beat my ride.
Jip, we're gonna give you the latest in personalized massage technology.
We're gonna put in a massage chair, which is customized to his body.
Jip's a world-class footballer and gotta take care of himself. So I've got him the ultimate for his million-dollar body. It's a full body massage system in a chair. And Jip's gonna be here any minute. Let's get it clean.
I mean, it's amazing. It's like a living room here.
Thanks, MTV,
for paving my way.
So another thing that happened then, I think it was in your second season at Liverpool. Bit My Ride, yep. Did an international season. You were on there as well. How the hell did that happen?
My friend Dan used to work for MTV. He wanted to challenge me that MTV base can make a better car than mine. So I was like, okay, let's do it. So we went to buy a van and they pimped it for me. And it's the result was crazy.
And what kind of van was it?
Was the A-team van. Yeah, exactly the same, and they pimped it. It's the result is cool.
What did they do with the van?
They put a massage chair, like a massive TV, a DJ, some DJ, and in the back of the car, like a massive TV to play PlayStation or Xbox at the time, I don't remember, or PlayStation.
Fat Joe was hosting it, right?
Yeah. Fadjo was hosting, really good guy, great guy. He came to my, and I think he felt really home. He was like, you know, in my house playing video games and playing pool and stuff. And he felt great.
That's cool. Still have contact with him or is that?
Yeah. We're still talking.
That's cool. Getting connections like that.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think because of football, I met a lot of people and a lot of good people. And yeah, it's a good way to connect and it's important to stay in touch.
That season, Boudewijn Zenden signed for Liverpool. Zenden was a winger who previously played for clubs like Barcelona and Chelsea. At Liverpool, he became friends with Gibril. And he remembers when he had to give Gibril a present at Christmas for Secret Santa.
He's such a nice, open, friendly guy. It was hard not to like him. Well, we had something funny where in Liverpool, what we did is... during Christmas time, we did the Secret Santa, which basically meant that the players and the staff we had to do some kind of a lottery or raffle where you pick a piece of paper which holds the name of one of the colleagues, and you have to buy them a present. But it's a secret Santa, so you have to stay quiet, don't tell anybody who's the one you've picked. And then you have to come up with something funny. You could even write a little poem to them, or it has to be something that goes with the character, or something funny that happened during the season. I actually, by coincidence, my number, my name that I took from the high hat was Gibrils. And for me, it was rather easy because obviously I knew him quite a bit. He loved cars and he also tuned his cars. I remember back then he had a car. It had a graffiti on the bonnet, picture of his daughter. So I bought him a toy Hummer. I got that car, took it out with great care out of the box. And then I alternated the car myself a bit. So what I did is I put some flames on the side, and I also put a picture of Gibril on the bonnet. So I did all of that and then shoved it back into the box and then wrapped it up. And that was his secret Santa gift. Well, I guess that he really enjoyed that one, because I have to admit, I was quite proud of myself.
On the pitch, Gibril mostly played as a winger in his second season at Liverpool. But he preferred to play as a striker, so he wasn't totally satisfied. At the end of the season, Liverpool played the FA Cup final against West Ham United. Gibril scored another important goal for Liverpool in a final, in a game that would end in a 3-3 draw. Liverpool would win the cup after penalties. It was the third trophy Gibril won in 2 years at Liverpool. But he wasn't happy with the fact that he was mostly used as a winger, and Rafa Benitez was looking for new strikers. Rumors started to circulate that Gibril might be sold. Olympique Marseille wanted to sign him, and Gibril was a fan of that club ever since he was a kid. At the end of the season, Gibril was selected for the national team of France for the 2006 World Cup in Germany. 2 days before the tournament started, France played a friendly game against China. Gibril had a place in the starting 11 with players like Thierry Henry, Zinedine Zidane and Lilian Thuram. In the 9th minute of the game, Gibril received the ball on the right flank of the pitch. He started to dribble. And just like 2 years earlier, in a series of very unfortunate events, one of his legs broke in a duel with the left back. Only this time, it was his right leg. Gibril was screaming in agony again and carried off the pitch on a stretcher.
It was a hard one to take because it was just before the World Cup. So the day before. So yeah, it was hard to take.
Do you ever think, what if, you know, those two horrible injuries didn't happen?
I don't want to say this to myself, because, you know, it's an endless situation. You know, you're never going to stop thinking that, yeah, maybe I would have scored this, maybe I would do that, maybe, you know. Look, it didn't happen, so... There's no point thinking like this.
So, did you know already when that injury happened that you would go to Marseille, or was it?
Yeah, I was already talking to them because Rafa already told me that he wanted some fresh blood. So I was already, already was talking to Marseille.
It shows character from the club, right? That they even wanted to sign you after the injury.
Exactly, they really wanted me, even injured, and I was really happy and really. Surprised. I don't want to say surprised, because you know they people when they say something they keep their word. But I was like, yeah, they are good guys, and I need to give back what they gave me.
Yeah. All right, so then it's time for you to leave Liverpool.
Yeah,
you go to Marseille. Yeah. you pack your things. What was it like to say goodbye to the club?
At the time I was thinking that it was only a see you later and not a goodbye. Then I signed to Marseille. Things went well. First year was alone. At the same time, Liverpool were doing really well, so they didn't really need me to come back. So I signed on the permanent in Marseille.
So then your time at Liverpool ends. And what kind of feelings did you have about, you know, leaving the club?
I was sad. I was sad because we had a lot of good moments, some titles, a lot of titles in for a year and a half. And, you know, I felt like unfinished business, you know, because I knew I could do a lot more. And it's only because of the the injuries, but you know, it happens. And Rafa had different plans, so you need to respect that and to move on.
Gibril had a couple of good seasons at Marseille. Then he played for clubs like Sunderland, Panathinaikos in Greece, where he became a legend, Lazio Roma, Queen's Park Rangers, Al Jarafa in Qatar, Kuban Krasnodar in Russia, Bastia in France, Saint-Pierroise en Réunion, an island in the Indian Ocean, and Yverdon in Switzerland, where he scored a bunch of goals. And then, in 2018, when he was 37 years old, Gibril Cissé decided to retire from professional football.
When it's your time and when you have no options, you know, you have to accept and to say to yourself, yeah, it's finished.
Mm, and, right. Yeah. But you have a good life now, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, everything is good. You know, I'm a pundit now in L'Équipe TV. I'm DJing. I've got kids. They're in good health. Everything is okay.
You do shows as well, like The Masked Singer in France?
Yeah, I did The Masked Singer and Danse avec les Stars too. So yeah, I'm doing some pieces on TV sometimes. But it's all fun and I enjoy everything.
Still having fun?
Yeah, always. Always fun.
Alien Gibril Cissé. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
After our interview, Gibril headed back to the city, on his way to his next gig as DJ Cheba. Gibril doesn't do what-ifs. He doesn't wonder what his career could have been like if he didn't suffer those two horrible injuries during his time at Liverpool. There's only one way to go for Gibril. Forward. Even if you break your legs a couple of times along the way, you can only go forward. Gibril Cissé always did whatever he wanted. Whether it was buying a manor, pimping a ride with Fat Joe, or becoming a DJ. He was a fan favorite wherever he went as a football player. And now he's still entertaining crowds all over the world as DJ Cheba. This was the story of Gibril Cissé and his years at Liverpool FC. Follow this podcast in your podcast app to never miss an episode. My name is Sam van Raalte. Thank you for listening and on to the next story in the home of football.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.